This morning we want to talk about hope. Hope. As we're moving along in our series of Love Is, 1 Corinthians 13 has been our passage that we're looking at. And today, love hopes, love trusts. Now I'm focusing mostly on hope because when we look at hope and trust, they really work together. That hope is that which we understand in our mind and in our heart and in our spirit and in relation to God, that we hope in God. We hope in an eternal life. We hope that God is with us and hearing our prayers. And based on the hope, we trust. So trust is like the action of the hope. And we have that reaffirmed in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 when it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is simply saying that we hope and that we have a hope that we are acting upon. Okay? So today we want to talk about hope and the action that accompanies that hope. The scripture says this in 1 Corinthians 13. Can we read it together? Love always hopes, love always trusts. Let me read it again. Love always hopes, love always trusts. Always is a big word, isn't it? Now it's only six letters, but it's a big word. Always. Love always hopes. Love always trusts. And we know that the hope comes first with our relationship with God and then to others. Have you recognized today that there seems to be a pervasive hopelessness in our world? Maybe not for you as an individual, but sometimes that can creep in. A battle to keep hope. And I'm not certain this is exactly true. It's more of a thought and an opinion rather than a fact. But I wonder in my mind that if there are so many of these tragic, senseless, violent acts and just the stuff that you look at in the world and go, why is this going on? That somewhere in there just might be an element of hopelessness. Because when you lose hope, you don't care. Why not just throw off restraint? Why not just do whatever? Why not just let it out and lose control? There's no hope anyway. It's not going to change anything. And so I wonder if in the depths of someone's heart that some of these behaviors are a result of who cares? There's no hope anyway. Now when you have hope, you have purpose. There's a goal, there's a meaning, there's a reason for why you do what you do. Why you should excel, why you should study, why you should do your best at work, because there's a hope that's attached. Have you ever felt like you've lost hope? We all have at some point. Every one of us have felt that way. There's that time when the last second ticks off the clock and your team lost. There's no more hope. The game's over. Or maybe when the last breath is taken and the person that you care about is not going to recover. That hope ends at that point. All of us have felt those feelings of hopelessness, of it didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out. But aren't you glad for God? Aren't you glad? In a world today where hope is at a premium and the struggle to find hope seems to be pervasive, that the people of God are never without hope. Never. Love always hopes. Love always trusts. Even when the last breath is taken. Don't you love a God who even when the person is either in the coffin or in the grave and Jesus shows up and there's still hope even then. That's a God that we serve. And that's a God that lives inside of us. There's always hope with God. And he said it this way, there is nothing impossible. Nothing that's impossible with God. You give someone hope, you change their life. You give someone purpose as a result of that hope, you give them a destiny. Hope. And then the trust that goes with that hope. Hope defined for our purposes today is got a combination of words to wait for, to desire with expectation. With hope, there's a waiting that's necessary, true? I mean, you don't hope for what you already have. The Bible says that. I don't hope to have a wife. I have one. I don't need to hope for her. She's mine. Or Cassie put it with her and Anthony, get your hands off. That works. You don't hope anymore. You have that. So there's a waiting that's involved in hope. That's why in the Bible it talks much about perseverance and enduring, and that those things are partners with hope. Because you wait, and you wait patiently. But you wait not with an ominousness about your waiting, but you wait with eager anticipation. There's a desire. You want this thing. You don't hope for something that's negative. You hope for the positive. There's a desirous expectation. Think about your hopes right now. Think about your hopes. You don't have it yet, do you? You don't have that dream yet, do you? But you hope. And that lights a fire inside of you. That creates this feeling of, it's going to come someday. I just know it. It's going to happen at some point. I just know it. And with God, there doesn't need to be any reluctance about that hope. We know it, that we're going to see Him face to face. That's our hope. And that's real. And that's vital. Expectations can be broken. Desires can be quenched in this life. But church, I'm here to tell you in a very direct way, and throughout this next few minutes as I talk to you, I'm going to talk less and read more Scripture. So when I started to do my Bible study about this message, I found a vast amount of information about hope in the Scripture. I challenge you to do this someday, and I might do this. I've done it with the word glory. As I read my Bible, I've got a purple pencil, and every time I come across the word glory or glorious, I rub it with a purple pencil. And I'm amazed at how many pages of the Bible have glory in that. Because that's our vision, everything for the glory of God. And I was shocked to find out. In the same way, next year I'm contemplating maybe taking a yellow pencil or some other color. And every time I come across the word hope or hopeful, I want to circle that. And you know what? I know my Bible is going to be just riddled with yellow smudges. Because there's that much hope in the Word of God. The reason there's that much hope is because God knows the condition of this world. God knows that in this world, it is a place that hope comes at a premium. People today are not filled with hope. People today are frustrated. They're angry. They're impatient. They're just full of angst because they don't see a hope. Hopefully that's none of you. Because in the Word of God, He says over and over and over and over, there is a hope. And it's found in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is our God. There is nothing impossible with Him. And therefore, we are people who can live hope-filled lives. God's promises are faithful. His Word is true. His character is true. He is alive today. And He's with us in this room right now. God is here. And He's here to fill us with a hope. If you're struggling with negativity and you've had your hope siphoned out of your life because of earthly circumstances, and believe me, that's not hard to do. When you've battled, and I know some of your circumstances, you've battled. Listen, God is here to try to transition our mind from, church, this isn't all there is. If all else should fail in the short few seconds that we have to live on this earth, there is an eternity waiting for us that is forever and ever and ever and ever, and it never ends. And that's a place with God, and it's ours as a promise. The issue that we struggle with in our lives when we start to lose hope is that somehow we've got this blockage that we see this earth as the end, that this is all we get. Church, this isn't all we get. This is just the hors d'oeuvre. It's not even that. It's shorter than that. It's less than that. Eternity compared to this existence on earth is the beach compared to a grain of sand. There is so much more that we have to look forward to. And I'm saddened by the last, maybe 10 years or so, kind of a shift in the church that wants to bring the kingdom of God and relegate it to just this earth and not be so eternity minded. Let's be more practical. And I want to say, you can't be practical without eternity. You don't have hope if you don't have a future. You don't have the ability to be hope filled if you think this is all there is. That the eternal life with Jesus Christ drives us. It moves us. It inspires us. Because it's true. And it's right. And that makes our practice even that much more valuable. But we still need to realize that some folks looking for hope will place their hope in the wrong place. Your hope is only as good as the object or the vehicle that you place your hope in. You might hope that your car gets you home today. But if it's a 1972 Pinto, you might have some doubts as to whether or not you'll make it. Your hope is only as good as the object. Aren't you thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ is reliable? Let's talk a little bit about the false hopes that people put their trust in. And maybe you'll find yourself in this list. And I'm just going to go through some scriptures with you and help us understand what not to put our hope in and what to put our hope in. First of all, there's a scripture, not in your outline, but everybody who's breathing here today has a hope. The Bible says that. Here's what Ecclesiastes chapter 9 says, and it's kind of a funny verse to me. I don't know why it makes me chuckle, but it does. It says, anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better than a dead lion. Don't you love the way God talks? If you're breathing today, there is a hope for you. Doesn't matter where you are. What that means is there's no such thing as a lost cause. That's what that means. If you're breathing, you have hope. I know I've had people in my life where I thought, no way, man, hopeless. That one's never going to see Jesus. That one's never going to repent. That one's never going to soften to the Lord. And what do you know? To our surprise, God's Holy Spirit was actually stronger than I thought. If you're living and breathing today, you have a hope. And I want to talk, just make mention to those of you, because I know there are some of you here that you're discouraged. You maybe have even slipped beyond discouragement into despair. Listen, there's a hope for you. The reason there's a hope for you is because there's a God. And that God not only loves you, but wants you. And your hope is as close as turning your eyes from these earthly struggling moments and returning them to a loving, eternal, coming King. And it's just a transition of our perspective. Are things tough in this earth? Yes. But this is not our home. This is not the end. There is a hope and a future. Job chapter 17, verse 15 says this, where then is my hope? Who can see a hope for me? Well, there's a hope. Number one false place that people put their trust in is religion. Is religion. You might put your hope in a religious tradition. Can I tell you that religion is not your hope? Religion is a set of do's and don'ts that you perform in order to get God to like you. Surprise, newsflash, He already likes you. The cross says that pretty amplified. He screams out with His bloodshed cross that I love you. Religion is that effort to appease our own consciences sometimes and say, okay, I think I've done enough. I should be okay someday in the future when maybe after I die, I'll be okay. The Bible says in Job chapter 4, it's more of a rhetorical question of Job's friends who are off base trying to convince Job that he's going to be somehow going to make it. And they say, should not your piety be your confidence and your blameless ways your hope? In other words, Job, you've done everything. Shouldn't that be what gives you hope? And over the course of the conversation, we realize that no, it's not about Job's pious ways. It's about the God who Job serves. It's not about religion. You put your hope in religion. You even put your hope in Abundant Life Assembly of God. You're going to be in trouble. It's God and God alone. It's Him. Number two, money. A lot of people put their hope in money. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now you say, Pastor, that really doesn't apply to me because it says command those who are rich. I'm not rich, so I can put my hope in money, can't I? No, it works for you too, poor people. Rich or poor, doesn't matter. The issue is money won't satisfy you. Money won't sustain you. It's not a good place to build your foundation. When things go haywire, and they have done that in the last 15 years, we've all gone through the dot-com bust, when people who thought everything was going to work out great, it didn't work out great because money is a really, really shoddy foundation. Is it nice to have? Sure. Nobody would argue that. But it can be gone in a flash. People put their hope in money, and they find themselves very, very disappointed. Number three, people put their hope in possessions. Psalm 33. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. Now, this is in the context actually of the military. When you read the context, if you do, it talks about kings and armies and so on. But the vehicle of that, the possession that would give victory, is, in this example, the horse. And so I've expanded that a little bit to talk about any of the possessions that we have. If you put your hope in your home, and I know a lot of you hope to own a home, and you're like, how am I going to do that in this valley? It's crazy with the high prices and so on and so on. You could do that. You could finally end up having that home and having that, quote, American dream, and still be absolutely hopeless. And you've met those people. I've met those people. You put their hopes in things, and they get those things, and you stare at them as you're sitting there in your quietness, and you say, is this all there is? I got what I thought would fulfill me, and it didn't. Because hope is not found there. It's false. It will leave you empty. Number four, intellect. Proverbs 26:12 says, do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them. You think you're so smart? Build your hope on that? Fine. Knock yourself out. A fool is even smarter than you because they at least know what they don't know. We put our hope in our intellect, our hope in our intelligence, our hope in our tech, our hope in our ability to dream up things and invent things. And wow, we live in Silicon Valley. This is awesome. The place where hopes explode with the unending abilities. And it's all going to crash. Maybe not immediately, but read the end of the story in the Bible. Everything crashes. Everything does. And the only thing that remains is our Lord God and His kingdom. Apple will not endure. Any Apple employees in here, be ready to dodge the tomatoes. Google is not forever. You will survive in heaven without Facebook friends. You will. In heaven, you won't have to Snapchat. You'll know. You don't have to stalk anybody. You'll know. Everybody. Intellect, it won't give you a hope. Number five, work. Some of you work so hard, and you should work hard, because a Christian should be a great worker. But you put your hope there, you're going to lose it. Those who work with combed flax will despair. The weavers of fine linen will lose hope. If work is everything that you have, it's everything that you strive for, it's everything that you do, your life will dry up. Because your hope isn't there. Now, so I've got one more to talk about here. But are all these things good? They're all good, right? They just aren't capable of sustaining your hope. The Christian with a hope in God can enjoy those things, but they can't be above Him. Number six, government. How many know that? And I'm not talking politically, really, but just government. Here's what Scripture says, Proverbs 11:7. Hopes placed in mortals die with them. All the promise of their power comes to nothing. You can place your hope in a mortal, in a government. We're going to be fine. We're Americans. We always turn out fine. Well, yeah, Romans said that too. And all the other great kingdoms that have gone before us. Nothing but God is sustainable. He's our hope. I love this scripture. Such is the destiny of all who forgot God. So perishes the hope of the godless. Isn't that a great scripture? If you want to see your hope perish, if you want to see your destiny just crumble, forget God. That's a sure way to do it. Your hope will go the direction of God or not. In one way, it will grow and fulfill you and sustain you right up until you meet Jesus face to face. And any other place, it will leave you empty. Okay, well, let's get off of the negative for a while. Let's talk about something positive. Hope in God is the one true hope. Is this amazing to us? Not really, right? But you know what? In this world, we need to be reminded. And at this season, we need to be reminded that there is a hope, and it's real, and it's true. Psalm 39, verse 7 says this, "But now, Lord, what do I look for?" Anybody ever asked that question? I have. I mean, Lord, what do I look for? Where's the answer? Where's the hope? What am I going to do? Well, the answer is really close, and the psalmist gives it to us. My hope is in you. Can we say that verse together? Because I think we need it this morning. Let's read it together. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. You can live on that verse, can't you? That needs to be on our fridge. That needs to be on our rearview mirror. It needs to be wherever we work, that will constantly be filled with that hope and that understanding. The reason our hope is with God is because His Word is true. Hope in the Word of God. You can place your hope there. It's a good place to put your hope because it's rock solid foundation. You will never, ever, ever, ever fail trusting God's Word. You never will. Here's what Scripture says. A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. God does not lie. He's coming back for us. There is an eternal kingdom. When we die, it's not a period. It's a comma. We move on. We go further. We go through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't put it in park in the valley of the shadow of death. We kick it into gear and we drive through that. And we meet Jesus face to face. And it's real. And it's true. And it's coming for us. Let's leave the hopelessness of this world behind. And let's get our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Because He's our hope. He does not lie. And He's made us promises. There are thousands of promises in the Word of God. And I don't know why we take those thousands of promises in the Word of God, we compare them to our current situation, and that little situation seems to blow those promises out of the water. Why do we do that? God's promises are there to overwhelm anything that could come against us. Anything that could discourage us, that could bring us to despair. And I'm not making light of the heavy things you face. On this earth, they are heavy. They're hard. But the perspective is crucial in comparison to the great and precious promises of God. They are there to overwhelm those struggles, to pull you out of that despair so that you can walk and walk by faith and walk encouraged and walk in joy. That's what they're there for. God's Word is true. It will not fail you. It never will. Because He's true. He doesn't lie. What does He not lie about? He doesn't lie about the fact that He's our hope and that Jesus rose from the dead. There's our hope. 1 Peter chapter 1. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your hope, or faith and hope, are in God. Church, there was a day when Jesus walked this earth and the spikes were put into Jesus' body as he hung on the cross. He breathed his last. And in that moment, the disciples who placed their hope in him thought a period had been placed on the story. They didn't know what was coming next. And they were hopeless. That hopelessness scattered them like roaches. And they went fearful and worried and concerned and heartbroken and devastated. Did they need to be? Well, in the moment when you're blinded by hopelessness, the shock is too much to handle at times. And we've all been in those places. But it wasn't the end of the story. Jesus Christ really rose from the dead. The stone was removed. That period was thrown aside. And when they went to see what they thought was true, they found it wasn't true at all. There wasn't a corpse in that tomb. There was just a burial cloth and an angel announcing his resurrection. And then Jesus appearing to them. Don't you know that sometimes the way we look at things isn't really the way it is? And we've got to get that perspective. We look at life sometimes and we think that's the way it's going to be. And Jesus says, Nope. I got more to this story. And if we'll wait and be patient and endure and trust, the promises of our living God will come to fruition. Because he doesn't lie. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, church. And because Jesus rose from the dead, you're going to raise with him. You're going to raise with him. It's truth. Because God raised Jesus, and Jesus is in you, you will also rise from the dead. And isn't that the last hopeless place? It is, right? Death. We can get through stuff and fight through stuff and struggle through stuff. But when it comes to face eternity and die, we got nothing. We got nothing. God does. God does. It was a hopeless bunch of people. And Jesus took that hopelessness and resurrected it by coming out of the grave. Can we just get this? You're going to die one day. But if the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you are never going to perish. Never. You have hope now. What can this life do to you? That's why Paul could say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. If you leave me here, I'll just love and keep preaching Jesus. If you kill me, all the better. Would you please? Do me a favor. Send me to heaven. We're going to raise from the dead. If we're going to raise from the dead, what is there to fear? When Jesus did raise from the dead, the disciples got that sort of. Sort of. They got it on an earthly level. Jesus came out of the grave and they went, whoa, this is awesome. We can wipe Rome out now. How do you defeat an army where you kill them and they come back out? A whole army of Arnold Schwarzeneggers. I'm back. There's no way we can be defeated. And Jesus went, no. Yeah, that hurt about as much as it sounded like it hurt. No! It doesn't work like that. You will die, but you will not perish. Amen. You're living, you're surviving now. You're in what the Bible calls mortality. We're experiencing mortality, but we're not experiencing life yet. We wait for that. We hope for that. We yearn for that. And there will be a day when we'll see him face to face and we're going to live life. And that life consists of no more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more temptation, no more anguish, no more frustration, no more sin, no more of that stuff. That's living. That's living. Right now we're getting through the best we can. And it's not bad. I mean, I like you. We like each other. That works, right? That works. It's nice. Thanksgiving was great. Christmas will be great. Okay. But even that, it's in life. It's mortality. Jesus rose from the dead. You are going to rise from the dead by the power of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who looked death right in the face, said, "Death, you have no power. Where's your sting? I conquer you, and I will take everybody with me who is who follows me, who's invited me into the life. I'm taking them with me." And I hope that's you. I know most of us are, but I hope if there are others here this morning that you are getting this picture that through Jesus you have hope. Even when this life is over, it's there and it's yours. Love this scripture. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Isn't that great? If this is where your hope is for, if it's you only even hope in Jesus to give you a better life today, so sad suckers. Our hope is so much bigger. Amen. Our hope is not just for today, it's for eternity. And we get that. For we're joyful. But that be joyful in hope. Be diligent in prayer. Endure. How does this work for today? Let me wrap this up. How do we bring this down into a context of today? How does it help us today as we wait expectantly? Because we're here, remember? Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. We're breathing. So we're here. How does the hope fill us while we're here? Well, there's a few things. Number one, or here's the scripture. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here's the first hope. Here's the thing that drives us. Is Jesus Christ in you? That's your hope. If Jesus is in you, you're going to make it. Doesn't matter how tough life is, you're going to make it. Doesn't matter how much you suffer, and I know some of you suffer, you're going to make it. Because Christ is in you. He's the hope of glory. It's always about Jesus. Well, what is that? How do we function then? Number one, hope in God will give your life stability, will make your life stable. How do I know that? Because Scripture says that we have a hope as an anchor for your soul, firm and secure. Don't you love an anchor for your soul? What's an anchor for? To drop it down to keep the boat from drifting away. Or in turbulent waters, you drop the anchor down so that your boat doesn't get tossed around and flipped over. The anchor, that weight, keeps it secure. Does your life feel insecure? Does it feel like it's, whoa, I'm losing it. I might capsize. Hope is your anchor. It's the anchor for your soul. Instead of, whoa, what's going on? I think this is crazy. I don't think I can handle this. Your hope says, but Jesus, who has gone to the cross and rose from the dead. He's coming back for me. I will see him face to face. I'll be in heaven for eternity. This will pass. Amen. Therefore, I can live with the joy of the Lord. He's my hope. It's an anchor for your soul. Do you need an anchor for your soul this morning? Your life feeling a bit unstable? That stability is as close as reviving the understanding that our Lord Jesus is our hope. That he's in us. And he's coming back for us. Number two, hope in God will cure discouragement. Psalm 42. Why, my soul, are you so downcast? You ever talk to yourself? The psalmist is doing that. He's talking to himself. You look at, and I say a little bit different. When I look at myself, I look and I go, what's your problem? If I were to write the psalm, that's the way I would have written it. What is your problem? Why are you, what is with you? Why are you so like this? The psalmist got that. God understands that. Why so disturbed within me? Anybody disturbed inside? Anybody ever been disturbed inside? Right? How do you cure that? Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. If you're disturbed and downcast, you know what the cure for that is? And I'm not, again, I know people, but Pastor, what if? Listen, let's just simplify today. And I know, let's just simplify. It's the Word of God. Put your hope in God. And as you put your hope in God, you begin to see who He is. Wow, He's bigger. He's better. He's stronger. He's mightier. He's eternal. He's faithful. He's gracious. He's kind. He's comforting. He's with me. He's all-enduring. He's sovereign. He's all-knowing. He's ever-present. He will never leave me. And as you let the characteristics and the attributes of God flow through your mind, you begin to realize He's worship-worthy. And as you do that, your mind goes off. The reason you were so downcast and disturbed, your mind shifts to the risen Christ, and you suddenly realize, I'm going to be okay. There is light at the end of the tunnel. There is hope. Because God is our hope. Put your hope there, not in something else. Number three, hope in God will refresh your soul. You need refreshing? Kind of like a palate cleanser for the soul? Can I have a whoosh? Oh, that's better. Scripture says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isn't that a great scripture? Now he's not talking about you'll be able to run a marathon immediately without training. It's talking about you're living your life, of course. Put your hope in the Lord. He will renew you. Are you weakened? Are you struggling? Are you weary? Do you feel like, oh, I'm going to give up? Put your hope in the Lord. He will renew your strength. He'll give you a second wind and a third wind and a 99th wind and however many winds you need to fill your sails to move on. He will do that. When we wait on the Lord, put our strength and our hope in Him. Number four, hope in God will help you to endure the hard times. Brothers and sisters, 1 Thessalonians, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. There are lots of scriptures on hope and tough times. Lots and lots of them. But this one I like because it talks about the ultimate struggle. People in this world grieve different than people who know Jesus. You ever notice that? They just do. The reason is the hope. The hope. We don't need to be afraid, church. God is God. He will never leave you or forsake you. Even when you breathe your last, it's a graduation, not an ending. And because of that, He will sustain you no matter where you are. Some people have no hope, and so they live their lives and grieve in a different way. It's a sad way. It's sad. It's agonizing to realize that someone without Christ really has no hope. All they have is those false things that we listed. That's all they've got. And none of those things will work. Only Jesus will work. And you might be here right now and you're in the process of trying those things, those false hope things. And you're wondering why it's not working for you. Because it can't. Those things aren't designed to be an anchor for your soul and to be a cure for your despair, to refresh your soul. They're not designed to. No more than you'd use a banana to hammer a nail. Your life just becomes a mess. There's only one who is your hope, who's faithful and secure and enduring and right. That's our Lord and Savior. So we don't grieve. We aren't saddened like the rest of the world. Oh, we get sad. There's hard times. But the hope gets you through the hard times. Because you've placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this verse. May the hope, or may the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This Christmas season, church, that's God's desire for you and me. That's His desire. Wouldn't it be great to overflow with joy this season? Because our hope is secure. Can we read that verse as we bring this time to a conclusion? Let's read it together. And maybe instead of you see the word you, and I think it's there's you a couple of times, Can you put the word I in there, or me? Because that needs to be our prayer today. Put me instead of you. Can we read it together that way? May the hope, may the God of hope fill me with all joy and peace as I trust in Him, so that I may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's God's word to us. His hope will fill you. Not the hopes of this world, but the one true hope that you can build a foundation on. And I sure hope that every one of us has that today. Although I don't know. I hope. That's what this moment right now is all about. August 23rd, 1976, I put my hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Since then, there's been ups and downs, but here's what I know. The hope of God has sustained. And that no matter how deep the pit, God will bring me through. He always has, and He always will. He does not lie, and He's with you. It's just an issue of whether or not you'll choose to walk with Him. I'm glad I made that decision 41 years ago. The Bible says, he who puts his hope in the Lord will not be disappointed. I've been disappointed in me a lot. I've been disappointed in people a lot. I've even been disappointed in the church a lot. But I've never been disappointed with God. He's faithful. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are our hope and we can trust you. And I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would talk to every person here today. And if they know you, that you would encourage them. They might be despairing, but you would raise them to a new joy, because now they understand that their hope is in you and they can change that perspective. Others may not have met you yet, and therefore today they realize that they can work as hard as they want to work and look as far as they want to look and never find fulfillment in life because they're looking in the wrong places. Only you, Lord, are our hope. You are Christ in us, the hope of glory. So I pray right now, God, for every person and ask you to fill them right now with your hope.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.